This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
The people we were with from church had great seats right on behind first base, and at first I was excited about that until they started hitting foul balls. And then it changes your perspective. Your whole time you're wondering, now what if this next hit comes this way? And you want to get your hands ready to get your hands up to block. And I was telling somebody that week about my experience. I don't know who they were. They didn't know who I was. And this is what the man said. He said, "That's the same reason I don't go to church." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "I'm afraid something that will be said will hit me." And I thought, boy, that's an interesting application of an illustration I used. I said, "I'll have to use that sometime." Then I said, "I'm a minister, I'll use that." And he had no idea that that was the case. But I, you know, that thought went through my mind that week. And I'm the same way. We all wonder, is something that's going to be said today speak to me? Will something resonate with my heart? Will there be something that will be talked about, both good or bad? The greatest lesson I've learned about preaching is this, is that the miracle is not in the delivery, the miracle is in the reception. You say, what do you mean by that? If any miracle happens in preaching, and I do believe miracles happen in preaching, it's not with the delivery. It's with what happens in your heart and my heart as we listen. That's where the miracle takes place. The miracle takes place in us as we listen to God's word being proclaimed. Just a thought this morning. The man's name was John Moore. I think he wrote this in the 80s. It goes like this. "May all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. May all who come behind us find us faithful." Now listen to the second verse. "After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we must each find. May all who come behind us find us faithful." I want to talk to you today about a faithful man in the book of Joshua by the name of Caleb, C-A-L-E-B, a good biblical name. Some of you have someone in your family, perhaps, with that name, Caleb. Here's the story in a nutshell. Caleb was one of the spies that went to spy out the promised land. You remember some of that story, perhaps. And some of the spies came back with their hands ringing, and they said, "There's no way we can do this." But there were two spies, I believe, that said, "We can do this. With God's help, we can conquer the land." And Caleb was one of those men. And because of his faithfulness to the Lord, evidently the Lord made a promise to Caleb that he would have a piece of property just for himself that would be given to him indirectly by the Lord himself. And Caleb was 40 years old when that promise was given. But get this, he's 85 years old, 45 years later, and comes to Joshua and said, "What's the deal? Where's my promise?" And he's given a place called Hebron. And that was where his family raised their families for generations after that. A promise made is a promise fulfilled. We're going to talk about Caleb's faithfulness to the Lord and then make some application about faithfulness in your life and in my life. Well, how important is it for people to keep their promises to you? Does it matter? Does it make any difference? What about your promises that you make to other people? All this week, we look at a man named Caleb from the book of Joshua who challenged God to be faithful to his promise to him. He was faithful to God, and God honored him with his faithfulness in his promise. God bless you as you listen tomorrow to Cross Hope on Sirius XM 131. I want to talk about being faithful to the Lord, or being found faithful in a way that you've never thought about before, because this is really strong stuff, some of what I'm saying today. I want to bring up the first point. God doesn't ask for faithfulness, He demands it. God doesn't ask for faithfulness, He demands it. Think for a moment. If you work at a company, if you had anyone come to you and they ask you for something, and maybe to use this expression, they came hat in hand, they were very humble, they were very subservient, they were very demure, perhaps would be the word, in the way they approached you, may I please have this? God doesn't do that with you or me. God doesn't come hat in hand and saying, I'd like to ask you if it's not too much trouble. I know you've been busy, but I want you to do this. God demands faithfulness from people like you and people like me. How do I know it? Well, let's read Revelation 2:10. That's a scripture that will come up. Jesus is speaking in Revelation 2:10 to one of the churches of Asia, as they're referred to. They're suffering persecution, and he says this, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death." Underline that in your Bible if you underline. "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." Please note what God, Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, be faithful for 20 years and then hang it up. He doesn't say, be faithful until you get mad and then hang it up. He doesn't say, be faithful until you find out something better comes along in life. Be faithful unto death. It's not a question mark, it's a demand. The Lord demands faithfulness from His followers, people like you and people like me. This is important for you to realize, that you were created with the capacity to be faithful. I said that in the first service, and somebody corrected me, and rightly so. I'm glad we have the first service so I can get things right for the second service. But here's what they said, and they were right, dead on when they said it. It's not just that we're created with the capacity for faithfulness, but God enables us to be faithful to Him through His Holy Spirit. I said, you're right. The Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in your life and in my life, and that's why we have the capacity and the wherewithal to be faithful to the Lord, not because we're so faithful, but because the Spirit of God is faithful. And so when I challenge you to be faithful to the Lord, I'm not asking you to do something in your own power and your own strength, but allow the Holy Spirit that lives in you to enable you and empower you to be faithful. God doesn't ask for faithfulness. He demands it, and He demands it in little things. You know, faithfulness and unfaithfulness are manifested or demonstrated in little things. Faithfulness in little things may seem like not much of a big deal to you, but it is to the Lord. We demonstrate and manifest faithfulness to our families, to our jobs, to our church, to the Lord God Almighty in little things. God doesn't ask for it. He demands it. He's sovereign. He can do what He wants. He demands faithfulness from you and me. Let's bring up the second point. God doesn't observe faithfulness in me. He doesn't just stand by and watch it. He responds to it. That's important. You know, a lot of people observe what goes on in your life, but they have nothing to do with you. People watch you at work. They observe you at work, but they don't necessarily tell you what they've seen in you. They don't come up to you and say, you know, I noticed that you did this and you said this in a conversation. People observe things about you all the time and never say a word, just like you do with other people. God doesn't observe your faithfulness. He responds to it.
Well, this message will continue tomorrow on Sirius XM Channel 131, the Family Talk Channel. Thank you and God bless.
God doesn't observe your faithfulness. He responds to it. Let's bring up Psalm 37:28. "For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off." Remember this, the faithful one responds to the faithful. The faithful one, Jesus Christ, responds to the faithful. Let's bring up another scripture, Psalm 18:25. "To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless." What that means, talking about God responding. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. Do you know what it means to be faithful? It means to be faithful to His Word. That's what it means to be faithful. If God wrote the Bible and you believe in the inspiration of Scripture, that God did inspire the writing of this book, then it makes sense to me to be faithful to God is to be faithful to His Word. When I'm faithful to the Word, I'm faithful to the Lord. It's the same is true with you and with me. Some of you remember reading about Babe Ruth. But there's one game that I remember reading about. Babe Ruth is at the bat, and an umpire by the name of Pennelly is at behind the plate. I don't know if Babe Ruth swings at the first pitch or it's a called strike, but it's strike one. Don't know what happens. Second pitch, strike two. Third pitch, he doesn't swing. It's a called strike, and Pennelly, the umpire, says, "Babe, you're out." And according to a biographer, Babe Ruth turns to the umpire and says, "Pennelly, don't you know there are 40,000 people out in these stands, and they all know that was a ball?" And Pennelly gave a great answer. He said, "Doesn't matter, Babe. The only opinion that counts in this stadium is mine. The only opinion that makes any difference in this stadium is mine. So many people are playing to the 40,000 people in the stands in life. And all that matters is, what does God think?" Think about that for a minute. So many people think, what do my friends think? What do my coworkers think? What do the people I bowl with, the people I play softball with, what do they think? And the only thing that matters in eternity is, what does the Lord think? And does He think of you as someone, does He observe faithfulness in your life, or does He observe unfaithfulness to Him? Let's bring up the third one. God doesn't just appreciate faithfulness, He rewards it. God doesn't simply appreciate it from afar and say, "You know, I appreciate that," and that's it. He rewards it. Let's bring up Psalm 97:10. Psalm 97:10. "Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for He guards the lives of His faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked." Let those who love the Lord hate evil. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but part of loving the Lord is loving what He loves, but it's also hating what the Lord hates. And I know that sounds strong. What do you mean to hate what God hates? I'll tell you what God hates. God hates pride. Do you know the book of Proverbs lists seven things that God hates? And the number one thing is haughty eyes. That means somebody who's looking up to look down at people. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. If we can run through that again like we did first service. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him. You want to know what He hates? Here they are. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Years ago, I was trying to change a headlight in the car that we owned at the time. I got the screwdriver and said, "I can do this myself." And I stood in front of the car and I'm backing out the screws, I think, to let the headlight out. And all I did was lower the headlight. I changed the alignment, the setting of the headlight, but I didn't realize it until that night. I drove from Cincinnati to Columbus, Ohio, like this, with one headlight straight ahead and one pointing 2 feet to the ground below the front of the car. And I was totally out of alignment in terms of my headlights. And the thought occurred to me, I will never be in proper alignment with the Lord God Almighty until I love what He loves and I hate what He hates. And the same is true with you and me. We have got to love what He loves and we've got to hate what He hates. God doesn't just appreciate faithfulness, He rewards it. I want to leave you with a question and then tell you a story. What would happen to your career? This is really personal. What would happen to your career if the same level of faithfulness you use with the Lord would be applied to your job? Would you have a job tomorrow? Some people would say, no, it wouldn't. Would you have a job next month? Probably not. Would you have the same job 6 months from now? I'd rather doubt it. If you took the same faithfulness you manifest toward the Lord in His Word and apply that to your job, would you have a job tomorrow? And a lot of people would say, I don't think so. I'm amazed at people who have first-rate loyalty to a second- and third-rate cause. Listen to that again. People who have first-rate loyalty to a cause that's second and third and even fourth or fifth-rate, and were not faithful to the One who died for us. and forgives us of our sins, who remembers our sins no more, as I mentioned earlier. And we're faithful to causes, but we're not faithful to the Christ. God didn't call you just to be faithful to a cause on earth. He called you to be faithful to Him. And He's the one that can demand it. He's the one that rewards it. He's the one that responds to it. One of the biggest new industries out there today of guarding people's identity, to protect you from identity theft. And now it's now become a billion-dollar industry, people spending money to guard their identity. And yet I want you to listen to this verse again. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for He guards the lives of His faithful ones. Why would you want to pay a company to guard your identity when you need the Lord God Almighty to guard your life? To guard your life and your death, to guard everything about you. I want that person in my life, as important as guarding my identity may be. We need the Lord to guard our lives. You know what it means that God guards our lives? That God is constantly present in our lives. To have God guarding your life means He's present no matter what happens. He's with you in the good. He's with you in the bad. He's with you in the positive. He's with you in the negative things that happen in life.
Well, we want you to make every effort to listen to the conclusion of this message tomorrow. I'm going to share with you a story from Newsweek magazine, a magazine that's no longer in print. It's a story about faithfulness in a family. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes the faithfulness or lack of faithfulness in a man's life is reflected in the family as well as his relationship with the Lord. I want you to hear that story tomorrow. If there's ever a message you miss on Cross Hope, you do know you can go to our national website, crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. And also to find out how you can become a part of this ministry that we call Cross Hope Radio Ministry. That's crosshope.org. Hope you'll listen tomorrow to the conclusion on the Family Talk Channel, Sirius XM 131. It was written by a journalist who lives in Los Angeles. Her name is Pamela Lansden. She was taking a flight from New York to Los Angeles going home after Thanksgiving one year. She went to her seat on the airplane. No one was seated next to her, and she thought, this is great. I've got an empty seat next to me. I can stretch out from New York all the way to L.A. Just relax. She fell asleep immediately. While she was asleep at the beginning of the flight, they brought an 8-year-old boy named Kevin, and he climbed over her and sat down, and Pamela Lansden said that she woke up, one eye open. She's looking into the face of an 8-year-old who's about this far away from her, looking right at her. So she thought, well, I've got to do what I've got to do. I've got to have a conversation with this kid. She introduced herself to him. I'm Pamela. He said, I'm Kevin. I'm 8 years old. She found out that he was the child of a divorce situation, and he had spent Thanksgiving with his mother in New York, and he was flying back to L.A. to be with his dad, who was the custodial parent. And he's telling her all about Thanksgiving and all about what happened the week. And all of a sudden, he started crying. He started sobbing. She said his chest just was heaving back and forth as he sobbed. And he said, I miss my mom so much already, going back to see my dad. So I want to just read to you what Pamela Lansden said in terms of advice she gave him. She said, Kevin is no doubt one of the many children flying solo this time of year, traveling from one home to another, the lost luggage of parents who can't stand each other and now have to divide one or more children between them. As someone who's earned no merit badge in marriage, it takes some nerve on my part to question the domestic arrangements of others. Yet I couldn't help but wonder if these parents could have put the pain on a projection screen. Maybe they would have tried harder. I remember how the notion of staying together for the sake of the kids has been laughed off the face of the marital map by the time I was Kevin's age and was growing up myself in a broken home. And then she said this, and this really shocked me because I'm not sure what she meant. Here's what she said. Maybe two adults bowing to someone smaller and something larger than themselves wasn't such a bad idea after all. Sitting next to Kevin that day, I thought it made a lot of sense. Maybe two adults bowing to someone smaller, the child, and something larger than themselves, I want to say the Lord God Almighty,
wasn't such a bad idea after all. The point of this story and telling this story is this, is that the Lord doesn't say, be successful unto death. He doesn't say, be an achiever unto death. Make something of yourself until you die and be somebody that you can be proud of. Jesus Christ himself said, be faithful unto death. For this reason, when we look back on the lives of our parents, your grandparents, and some of you, you can even look back to a certain extent on the lives of your great-grandparents. I guarantee you, I promise you, that you probably don't focus on whether or not they were successful, they made money, they owned this house or that house, and they drove this car or that car. My guess is your memories of those people go around this word, faithful or unfaithful. Faithful or unfaithful, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe in the lives we live, inspire them to do what? To obey the Lord. May all who come behind us find us faithful. The two most important words, found faithful. Found faithful. Let's pray together.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.